Word spreads so quickly from mouth to mouth about who is coming. Yes, people even take care to keep an eye out for who is coming home next and whether he brings real merit, whether he is one of the chosen ones, who the angel world is particularly happy about. And so this news went from one house to another. But it didn't just seem to be like that here in this sphere that I had come to. My mother told me that on her last visit to the souls she was comforting, she had heard them ask, "When is he coming? When will he be ready?" And when my mother asked, she found out that they meant me. Well, I wanted so much to help everyone. One of those who had asked me to help had lived with me in the same village on Earth. He said to me, "You know, we should really try to help France together." "France?" I asked him, "Is it the blacksmith?" "Yes," he answered, "he has been asking about you for a long time, when you are coming, and asked that you should visit him." I remembered him well. He had not lived to please God. And I could understand that this soul was suffering. We had known each other well, we had been neighbors on Earth. Now he had asked about me and asked when I would come. My mother always visited him, she had comforted him and others too. And then he cried out in his distress, "I am just waiting for Anton, when he comes, he will free me, he was a good man on Earth. God will make it possible for me to be taken out of trouble, for his sake, for the sake of his works." He is said to have exclaimed this, and others heard it. My mother told me, because they asked France, "What kind of person is that that you are expecting? Send him to us too, we want him with us too. What do you call him, where does he come from?" And France had nothing else to do than to talk about his life on Earth and the impressions that remained with him and about those people had only laughed at and not understood because they were pious and had faith in God. But now he had time to remember them and to call them. So he did it with me. My mother confirmed this and said, "You must go to him, to France, he is a very poor soul, go to him and comfort him." Then I said, "I am ready, if the higher spiritual world agrees, to send me there, I will only do what I am told." And an angel who was visiting me explained to me, "Your mother and father will show you the way, your father will also accompany you." Then he added, "See, your parents had to wait so long until you joined them. After a short time you will leave this valley with your parents and go over to another paradise. So I should not wait too long, in this valley." I thought, now so many have come to me and they have begged me to help, and I am not supposed to be here much longer, I wanted to help everyone. But then the angel said to me, "You can stay here until you have done all the brothers and sisters here a favor and accompanied them to the poor souls, you can stay here for that long. When you feel that you have now done everyone a favor and fulfilled your task on this level, then we will lead you and your parents up to a higher level." The parents were happy, of course, but they both agreed with me to help first and then take the nicer path. There were still so many requests to be fulfilled, and so I wanted to fulfill every request first, that was now up to my own discretion, and my parents were my companions. So I went to these unfortunate brothers and sisters for the first time, I went to pray with them, I also comforted them. But they expected something more than just prayer, I was not only to pray with them, but they wanted to see success from praying together with me and my parents. They welcomed us all with joy, and so they said, "Now you will help me, now it will be easier for me." But I had to say, "I don't know whether it will be easier for you now, I have only been commissioned to pray with you, to comfort you." So I did it a few times. And when I visited these unfortunate people again, an angel of God accompanied me there. This angel of God then explained to everyone I was with whom I prayed, "Yes, you have called for this good soul, and you expect that you will feel better. It shall be so. You shall no longer live in these feelings of distress, you shall feel easier, and all this because of the merits of the brother," said the angel, referring to me. Then this angel had a lot to say to them, about the advantages of people who believe in God and respect and fulfill God's works and his laws, and they were shown excerpts from my life. In this way it was made clear to the unfortunate that they would be relieved because God was happy when a righteous soul returned home, out of great joy this grace would be poured out on others. I had the feeling that they were not really listening. They did not really want to hear this, but simply wanted to see and feel the result. Things would become easier for them. And I could see for myself that they were getting better. Some of the unfortunate were led out of their hardship, up a level where things were easier for them, others were freed from their discomforts. I was happy that they were doing better and wanted to be grateful to God and Christ that they were so full of grace, because it was all about the Word of God. Through the Word of God they were freed from their distress, or their distress was made easier for them. So I had made this observation. Of course they wanted to demand that I should always visit them. They had now recognized their mistakes and were actually striving for a better life, but they did not understand that a better life also comes with tasks, that one must achieve a better life. Now they had lost some of their unease, one could not yet speak of a better life, they had to achieve the better life themselves. I was informed of all this by angels of God. They were my companions on these visits and they were happy that I had taken on this task. Then I was allowed to free France, who was banished, lived in severe distress and was not allowed to visit the earthly realm. That is, he was not completely free, but he was freer. The angel of God had recommended to me, now accompany him to the village, that is, to where we had lived on earth, the near the church he should have his place, but he must not go into the church. There was a well near the church, and that was where he should have his place. The men always gathered at this well after the service, and there was a lot of conversation. Now he could listen to what these men were saying, but he was not allowed into the church. He could listen to what the men were saying, but that didn't really interest him anymore. He only had one desire, to go into the church. But he was not allowed to do that, or not yet. So he saw all the people who went to church. Most of them walked past this well, and that was how he was able to determine which of them were truly pious people. He hoped for help from these pious people. He could not go to church with them, he could not but notice who had merit with them, and he could go to meet these people. He should remember this, and he did. Then he asked me whether he could accompany a person home. His place of residence was strictly limited as to how far he could go. Now he asked whether he could perhaps go to the house of a righteous person. And that was now to be up to me, I was to take care of this soul. I also observed the people, and I knew what the goal was, he should come close to a righteous person and see his way of life, in order to recognize that he himself had a lot to change in his thinking. Now I recommended that he accompany this person, then that person, and stay with these pious people. I observed him while doing so. These pious people also prayed at home. He now saw that they did good works, and so I was able to explain to him that he still had a lot to make up for and that he just had to be very ambitious. It went on like that for a while. But he always had the desire to go to church. He wanted to kneel down there and pray, because there were so many pious people who went to church to pray, and with these praying people one would also find relief again, he hoped. So I had to ask an angel of God for this. Because he was spellbound, in the earthly world he was in a spell and he was not allowed to leave it. Through my pleas he was then allowed, the spell was lifted, so he was no longer bound to this particular environment. I asked that he be released so that he could move freely in the village where he had lived as a human being. After all, he had already gone through a lot in purification, so one could expect him not to do anything useless. Well, he was now allowed to move freely around the village and to go to church. So he went to church. He prayed there, as people prayed. I stayed with him and pointed this out to him every time he was no longer praying. That is, he soon began to look at people and forgot why he was actually in church. He had followed people's thoughts, thoughts that were not of a pious nature. Even when these people were in church, not all of them had prayed piously and devoutly. So I always had to point this out to him, turn away from this way of thinking. Focus on prayer and repentance, that is important. and then he asked me if he could look around the village. After all, a lot of time had passed and he wanted to see what had changed. We went together. I didn't want to leave him alone, and so I had to realize again that he soon began to take an interest in people and their daily lives and no longer thought about God. That was proof to me that this soul was not yet capable of going its own way. So it always had to be guided. Now the question was I always allowed to be around this brother? I also had other brothers and sisters to look after. I didn't stay with him all the time, and so I explained to him, you do this for so long and you don't leave until I come back. You observe this person and you try to direct your thoughts towards God, towards the higher life. That way I could control him. When I came back, I saw how far he had gone and so I had to reprimand him again. He put up with that. Over time I got him to that point, but only by pointing it out to him again and again, turn away from such thinking, it will bring you no benefit. You must now be interested in your spiritual advancement and leave everything else aside. Don't worry about the prosperity of people now, but worry about your own higher life, how you can get to the higher life. In this way I was able to guide and teach him. He saw how people were exposed to temptations and I could see how he was inclined to think, whether he himself would be able to overcome this temptation or whether he would fall prey to it. So I tried again and again to take him out of it, to show him the way again and again and thus to strengthen him. And then, when I believed I had fulfilled my task with him, I wanted to let him go. I explained to him, you are now ready to go your own way, to seek God's order and to be faithful to this order of God. I still had so many tasks of a similar nature. So I left him to his own decision. He had to join the order and act on his own. I was then able to make the happy observation that he was trying to make progress. It was slow, but he was ambitious. He made an effort, and so he climbed up. Well, I was then allowed to leave this sphere with my parents. We were led into a city, and we were accompanied by a large group of God's angels. The transition from one sphere to the other was like a small celebration. My parents had received new, nicer clothes, and I had also been given nicer clothes, so we then went over to this other sphere, into another, nicer city, as if in a procession. In this city we were greeted with jubilation. People were happy that we had come and had also prepared the apartment. But now I was no longer to be with my parents. It was understandable to me that the bond of kinship was to be severed, so I took another apartment and father one for himself and mother one for herself. The apartment was not empty, however, but siblings already lived there, but there was enough space, if you can speak of space. We were all happy that we could now move to an even more beautiful place, and we knew that we could always see each other. So we wanted to fulfill our tasks again and rejoice with the angels of God. This city was so wonderful, it had even more vivid colors than the valley I had first gone to. It was so wonderful with its gardens and its small forests. You had the impression of living in the middle of a big city, and yet you were soon surrounded by many trees. In these small forests the birds sang. There were so many different kinds, big and small birds. They flew to you, sat on your shoulders or perhaps on your head. It was a wonderful paradise. But there were not only these birds. I noticed that the animals lived in a very precise order in these small forests that could be found in the middle of the city. If you went a little further away from these forests, you saw other kinds of animals, animals that people also live with and that they take special pleasure in, animals of all kinds. But the same kinds were usually together, in a precise order. So you could go here and there as you pleased, when you had time. But it was not a life of doing nothing. Even if the world was now even more beautiful, the tasks actually became ever greater. You wanted to live to please God, you wanted to fulfill your tasks in this plan of salvation and order. There was a lot to do. You had to leave this beautiful city again and again and descend into other spheres. You had to be a companion to some people, you had to check on those you had once been friends with. You were asked again and again to take on protection. You also had to go to the earthly realm now and then. People accompanied people, they held their protective and blessing hands over an entire village, over a town or over a specific person, over animals, over nature. There was so much to do, they had to ensure order. A wonderful order prevails everywhere in God's plan of salvation. There was no lack of tasks, and people had a really beautiful life. In this beautiful town there was a hill, there was a large open space, and people would gather there. There they sang and prayed in honor of God. There they experienced performances by angels, there these angels performed their games. The ascended spirit beings could also give a performance of their own accord, as there were artists in various fields among these ascended spirit beings. There was a very special level designated where you could experience such performances. So you had constant joy. Friends were invited to these performances, but not everyone could attend. People went to those they had the most to do with and made them aware of it. And then the news spread from one to the other. And just as it is with people, one loves singing, another prefers painting. So everyone was offered something that was a very special joy to them. At certain festivals the highest spirits of heaven also came to us. They sang with us and prayed with us, together with us they gave glory to God and Christ. So I experienced this wonderful time, I still experience it and am also surrounded by many, many tasks. As I said, I go to one person at a time, another time to a troubled soul, there is a lot of work involved. Dear brothers and sisters, this is my life. My life is bliss. God bless you. Joseph, God bless you. Dear brothers and sisters, if there are questions, I would like to answer them. Dear spirit friend Joseph, I was surprised that there were still sad souls in that heavenly sphere where Anton had entered. Was that directly after his entry, or how is it to understand? Joseph, no. You didn't understand that correctly. This reception took place on an intermediate level, one was not yet on a high heavenly level. When Anton was received, there were spirit beings who made a sad face because they were only allowed to be there to greet him and were then quickly taken away again. Dear spirit friend Joseph, Anton said that among the people who went to church he saw those who were pious and who also did good deeds. How did he recognize that? Can you explain that to us? Joseph, yes. A spirit on this level can see the way a person thinks, and he sees the thoughts in the picture of his life that he carries with him. He also sees what the person has already achieved. He sees his nature and can thus recognize his decisions. Yes, I can understand that with Anton, but not with Franz, the blacksmith, who was not yet advanced enough to be able to interpret a life picture. Joseph, yes, Franz did that with his friend Anton, it happened together in a conversation. Thank you, dear Joseph. Can you perhaps now briefly say what Anton's life on earth was like that he earned so much? Joseph, yes, he was a nurse, he omitted to say that. He devoted his whole life to serving his neighbor, he gave everything he earned he gave to the sick. He cared for the sick, he worked for the sick. He lived for them. He was a pious person in the true sense of the word. Thank you, dear spirit friend Joseph. Can such an elevated being as Anton, who lives in his beautiful heaven and carries out this loving activity in the world beyond, retain this happiness if he has to descend again and again to the distressed souls? It is not always the case that people have a feeling of happiness when they have to leave their beautiful surroundings to help others. Joseph, you cannot judge with your human feelings what it is like in the world beyond. When a being has entered the divine world, it knows that it is now under the rule of God. This rule is different, and one wants to remain loyal to it, and that means service to one's neighbor. There is only service to one's neighbor that brings merit and that triggers this happiness. And the other, the recipient, is happy when a spirit being comes to him from the heights, because he feels elevated by his presence. It is also the case that a wholesome, healing power comes from these good spirits. For example, feelings of unease that unhappy souls sometimes still carry with them because they live with the feeling that they still have the same ailments and pains as on earth can be taken away by a visit from a higher spirit. Thank you, Joseph. Now, dear brothers and sisters, I am withdrawing. God's blessings accompany you all. May you be protected and protected from all distress and affliction. Greetings from God. Report of the Ascending Spirit being Anton and answers to questions from Spirit Teacher Joseph by Mediator Beatrice Brunner in the hall on Munchhaldenstrasse, Zurich. Template, tape recording. Headline, next case. July 1, 1964. Katharina, a mistress during her lifetime. Instruction of the sleeping human spirit. Control spirit, greetings from God. I am your control. Dear brothers and sisters, there are spirits everywhere and you will hear about them from a sister this hour. May God bless your hour. Greetings. Katharina, greetings. My name is Katharina. That is what I was called during my life on earth. Now, I would like to tell you about my first impressions in the spiritual world because I was asked to do so because it was important for you. So I was given the strength to experience everything again as it once was. When I came to the soul world, I was greeted by my mother and father. They took care of me and led me to my place. They accompanied me to a village. The houses were scattered there and I had the feeling that everything looked so poor. So I asked my parents, "But I surely don't have to live there?" And they replied, "Yes, you have to live here and do your work there." They showed me a house and led me inside. I then asked them if they, my father and mother, would be with me. My father answered, "No, my mother lives somewhere else and I am somewhere else too. We cannot be together, but we can visit you." I then told them that it would be impossible for me to live here, where they had brought me. No, I could never be satisfied with this. Because I had the impression that I would get sick here, that I could not live here, it was all so modest. My parents spoke to me and said that I probably would not be able to live here. I had no choice but to make do with what was offered to me. Here I must mention, it was not just my parents who accompanied me there. There also seemed to be angels of God there. However, they had only had brief conversations with me and I assumed that more confidential conversations would follow. But that did not seem to be the case. They said goodbye to me and my parents and some of my relatives and friends stayed behind. They all talked to me and said, "Katharina, you have to get through it and it will pass. You have to be clear that you are now in the kingdom of heaven and that God rules in the kingdom of heaven and that different laws apply here in the spiritual world." I could not agree with that and said, "No, I cannot possibly stay here." Then my parents said, "If you really think it is impossible for you to be there, then you have another option. If there is really no other way, you can return to your previous house." I accepted that and said, "Fine, I would rather go back to my house than stay here." But they pointed out to me that in that case I would not be able to complete my tasks so quickly and that that was not good, but if it was my will, then I could do what I wanted. It was not difficult for me to find the way back to my house because I could clearly see the illuminated street or path in front of me and could follow it. For me it was as if I were seeing my own footprints again that I had left from the earthly world to the world beyond. So it was a path and I knew, I have walked this path and I have had my companions. Everything was clear to me, I couldn't be wrong. So I went back, alone. Without any difficulty I found the house where I had lived. It attracted me, so to speak. I just wanted to at least go into my house. It was comfortable and nice there. I had at least something to look at that I liked. So I found my way into the house and wandered through all the rooms. When I got into the house, it was day for people. I found everything mostly as I had left it. Then I experienced the first evening as people experience it, as I had experienced it as a human being. I had three sons who were married and I had another daughter. My husband was still alive, and so my main concern was to get close to my husband. During the day I followed him. I patted him on the shoulders a few times, touched his head, but he didn't notice. Then I withdrew to the bedroom. I wanted to wait there until my husband came and went to bed. That way I could see how it was gradually getting darker and darker. On this occasion I realized that there were other beings in the house with me. At first I didn't care, because I had the impression that they were coming and going. I also realized straight away that you could no longer bind yourself to the room like people do, because you could go through the walls, through everything. I also realized straight away that there were no more secrets. People could lock themselves in, they could do things that others were not allowed to see and should not see. But for the spirit there were no longer any barriers in this respect, so you could see everything. So I went into the bedroom and waited for my husband there. When I entered, I'll say it like that anyway, the room, I found it very disordered. There had never been such disorder in the house during my lifetime. There were clothes lying around, and I wanted to put them down in an orderly manner. I couldn't do it, I couldn't pick them up. I could touch them, but my hands went through them. I couldn't pick up these heavy clothes, because I had the impression that everything lying there, everything earthly that you could touch, was heavy. I also tried to arrange various objects better, but I didn't succeed. I couldn't move them or arrange them better, my hands went through them. So I was just waiting for my husband. When he came, I greeted him and shouted at him, but he didn't hear me, he had no idea. Didn't sense that I was there. I had thought that my husband would definitely think of me when he went to rest, and I had also expected that he would pray for me, but nothing like that. He seemed to be completely absorbed in his busy work. He lay down in bed and had no thoughts about me. I was sad that he didn't think about me, that he didn't care for me. Well, I sat down on the edge of the bed and tried to straighten the blanket with my hands. Then I went to his side and stroked his face. He didn't notice anything. But I thought, well, it doesn't matter, I'll stay here for a while. Well, I had hardly had this thought and was a little annoyed about the mess, about my husband's behavior, when two people came in. And it happened quickly, the two of them quickly sat down by the wardrobe. It seemed to me as if they were two young people, because they acted as if they were in love. They were sitting there by the wardrobe. So I asked them what they were doing here. They mocked me and said they should ask me what I was doing here. So I told them that I had the right to be here, because he was my husband. Then they interrupted me, "We already know you. Oh, we have heard so much about you. We know your chatter. What are you thinking, talking like that?" And they replied, "Do you think this is the first time we have been here? We know this place well and we occupied it when you were still dash," and they pointed with their hand to the bed next to it, "when you were still lying in it. We can even tell you what you and your husband always talked about." I replied that the way they were behaving was inappropriate. Then one of the beings said, "Well, I will tell you something. You have always complained to your husband about how angry you are with the maid, and you have always had something to complain about with your servant. You have constantly tormented your husband with these things. What did you always have to tell him? What had happened in the kitchen, in the stable, everywhere in the apartment and how and where you had got annoyed and so on?" That's what they told me. Well, I thought it was simply not appropriate to sit on a box, there was still enough room in the house. But they replied that it didn't bother them, because the box was a place to sit for them just like any other, and they liked it. And besides, if I wanted to stay here, I could still experience all sorts of things myself. It wasn't long before new visitors arrived. Two more came, who seemed to have known the others for a long time, because they greeted each other accordingly. They looked at me a little surprised, but said nothing. But I did find it a little outrageous, because the two of them immediately sat down on the edge of the bed, one at the foot end, the other at the head. And they started talking and telling me everything that had happened to them. Started laughing and talking so much that I was amazed, and all of this in my room. Then I asked them politely, very politely, to leave me here alone. But they said, No, as a human being you can give that order to another person, but now that you no longer have your body and are a spirit like us, you can no longer give orders here. And besides, we have the right to be here, just like you. If you claim that this is your room, then we say that this room belongs to us too. You no longer have the right to claim that something is yours, because it belongs to all of us, to everyone who goes in and out of the house.